How do you know the difference between being on the verge of a breakdown versus being on the verge of a breakthrough? My answer, they're one and the same. The year was 2018, and I was 25 years old at the time. I was in my first big girl job at the Women's Business Center of Northern Virginia. I was a business counselor, and it was my task to sit down with budding entrepreneurs and help them birth their dreams, work on their business plans, and also teach classes to the community around how to start and grow their business. Earlier that year, Northern Virginia Magazine had named me a woman to watch, and my alma mater, George Mason University, had named me a distinguished alum. A year prior, in 2017, I had crowdfunded my first international missions trip to Cameroon, Africa, for a women's empowerment conference there, and I taught some business seminars. So I think it's safe to say that I had a level of professional success. I was thriving on the outside, but meanwhile, I was crumbling on the inside. What people didn't know is that I was battling imposter syndrome, because even though I was a business counselor, I myself did not have a business. In addition to that, I had dormant PTSD from a car scare that had happened 2 years prior that had never sought counseling or therapy for. So on a daily basis, I was pushing past my triggers of driving in Northern Virginia traffic for 3 hours a day, to and from work, all up and down I-66 and for different trainings and events, and I was constantly being triggered. Meanwhile, I was at a job that did not value me, didn't want to give me a raise or promotion simply because I didn't have a master's degree. Now, mind you, they knew when they hired me that I didn't have a master's degree, but apparently became a problem and, you know, climbing the ladder. So I felt like I needed to prove myself, go above and beyond for this role to show that I was worthy of this raise, worthy of this promotion. And I ended up crashing and burning. It became too much for me. I ended up making myself sick. I would pull up to work with these debilitating headaches. And after prayer and therapy, I realized that I needed to make the hard but necessary decision to resign from that role. I did not have a backup plan other than my emergency fund of $13,000 that I had saved for a rainy day. I would figure it out. So I moved back home to Baltimore with my mom and to be with my family. And so I thought that with work off the table, with those awful commutes off the table, that I could rest and recover in about 3 months or so. Well, 3 months turned into 6 months, turned into 12 months, turned into 14 months without full-time work. I had developed debilitating panic attacks on a daily basis, and I could do nothing more than just lay in bed and meditate. I first heard about meditation through my dad, who had practiced since he was a young teenager. I myself had never picked up that tool, though. But when I realized the extent and the amount that panic disorder and anxiety was affecting my daily life and my ability to just move through the world, I wanted to get a handle on it. And so I first learned the basics of Foundation via the app Headspace. And after I got some proficiency, I decided that I wanted to record my own guided meditations in a language that suited me. And so I recorded meditations to scripture. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? And so over time, I could see that these meditations that I was meditating to multiple hours a day were actually changing my neural pathways in my brain. They were healing. I started to notice my relationship with the road and driving change and heal. I was no longer getting panic attacks while I was driving. It was truly remarkable. So slowly but surely, I had to get back out there in the world, and I started to network again. And by February 2020, I landed a job at a social justice nonprofit here in Baltimore City. This was 1 month before the global pandemic hit the world, and so I got a job right in the nick of time. And so I was really grateful for my time at that role because it really kind of planted some seeds for the advocacy work and the nonprofit work that I do now as a nonprofit founder. So fast forward to today, I am the founder and executive director of the Mental Health Emergency Fund Incorporated and host of the Mental Health Emergency Fund podcast. So it is our mission to increase access to mental health care for community members who are unable to afford therapy or related services because of the cost. And so we do a quarterly stipend program where we give out stipends to community members. And to date, over the past 3 years, I have brought in over $200,000 in grants, fellowship money, and individual donations to this cause. I have screened over 160 community members, applicants for anxiety and depression, and I've given away $25,000 in community mental health stipends to the community. I'm also, like Aaron mentioned, the Open Society Institute Baltimore's mental health fellow, and my project, Mindful Ministries Collective, teaches a train-the-trainer model where I train youth leaders of organizations how to meditate so that they can work with how to do guided meditation facilitation so that they can do that with the youth that they serve. And so the tool that I use to really keep me sane and alive during my mental health crisis, I'm now able to teach to young people so that they can have that in their own toolkit as well. And so I don't see my resignation from the Women's Business Center as a failure. I see it as one of the greatest blessings I could have given myself, which is the gift of peace of mind. And so you may be out there on the verge of a breakdown, but I want to encourage you to keep pushing forward to your breakthrough because it is on the other side. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share my story.